Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Post podcast. I'm Mary Regan and I'm joined by the Sunday Business Post political correspondent Hugh O'Connell, and we're here to discuss the presidential election, which will now take place in October following a decision by Sinn Féin at the weekend to run a candidate. Hugh, I remember the 2011 presidential election when Sinn Féin decided to run the late Martin McGuinness. It was a controversial decision at the time. You know, there was accusations coming from Fine Gael that we'd have, you know, the world would be looking on as we had a terrorist in the Oras, according to Phil Hogan. And I remember broadcaster Gay Byrne saying, you know, what would the world think if we had a former gunman in charge of our defence forces? This is a very different Sinn Féin that's running a candidate now. We're unlikely to hear such commentary this time. So it's a very important strategic step along the way for Sinn Féin, isn't it, in terms of presenting a new vision of themselves as a party?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it definitely is the case that this presidential election will look a lot different in terms of Sinn Féin's campaign, purely on the basis that they won't have someone like Gerry Adams or Martin McGuinness running for the Oras. It's more likely the party now will pick a young candidate, someone not readily associated with the Troubles or with the IRA. The party agreed at the weekend that it would explore or that it would contest the presidential election, and now it is tasked David Cullinan, the Waterford TD, to head up a committee that I think will spend the next 7 to 10 days looking at potential candidates and then bring a recommendation to the party's all-powerful Ard Cooley, its national executive. So the speculation at the moment surrounds someone like John Finucane, the solicitor, the former Antrim footballer, and son of the late Pat Finucane, the Belfast solicitor who was murdered by loyalists in 1989. And John has been a long-time campaigner for a public inquiry into his father's death. He also ran for Sinn Féin in think Belfast East, I could be wrong on that one, in the Westminster elections last year, and he increased the party's vote quite significantly by about 6,000 votes. So he's a strong contender, but there's also a body of thought in the party that it should be a female candidate. Obviously, Mary Lou McDonald has made much of the fact that she is one of the few female party political party leaders in the country, and she has Michelle O'Neill as her deputy leader. And there was very much a theme of women running through there, and the feminist struggle through their Ordesh in earlier this year. So, you know, someone like Leonie Rida, the MEP for Ireland South, has emerged as a potential candidate. Lynn Boylan has already ruled herself out, for example, and there could be others who could emerge in the coming days. But at the moment, it seems that John Finucane is in pole position to be the party's candidate, and he is by virtue of the fact of his youth. And the fact that he was not involved with the IRA, for example, in the way Martin McGuinness is a very different candidate. And the party now will seek to contest the presidential election and talk about the kind of things they've been trying to talk about for the last few years post-Brexit. So principally a united Ireland and how that might come about and how a president, a Sinn Féin president, may begin to put that process in train. But there will be a lot of lofty talk during this campaign from candidates of doing things that they are constitutionally prohibited from doing, quite frankly.
Yeah, and they're focusing, they seem to be listening to Mary Lou McDonald at the weekend, focusing on a youth vote. So I suppose they're trying to get people who may not have voted for Sinn Féin before to do so this time around. But Michael T. Higgins is popular amongst young people in particular. And, you know, Sinn Féin are also talking about having this sort of national conversation on policy issues that, you know, the president has no role in these policy issues. So is Michael T. Higgins likely to face a difficult contest, do you think, this time around? It is the first time an incumbent has contested since 1966.
Yeah.
So how difficult will this campaign be for Michael T. Higgins, or is he home and dry?
Well, I mean, at the moment, you'd say that he's looking like he's home and dry. But I mean, a lot can happen in 3 or 4 months, and it is a long campaign now. I mean, it hasn't officially started, and it won't until the autumn. But it is, for all intents and purposes, underway now, and we have a number of independent candidates emerging, and we'll talk about them in a minute. But in terms of Michael Dee, I mean, he has, in his public comments thus far on his decision to contest or to seek re-election, has talked about the fact that he's been there, he's done it. 7 years in the job. I think it's widely accepted that he's represented Ireland with distinction, both at home and abroad. He has occasionally annoyed the government, and that's not a bad thing, I don't think. He's spoken out on issues like austerity, on issues like the markets, ratings agencies as well. He's a particular bone of contention for him and their ill effect on the global financial system. So he's talked about all that. He's been in the job for 7 years, and he will be very much run on the, you know, experience ticket, this idea that he has seen it all and done it all, and that he is a president that the country can be proud of. I mean, that was his slogan in 2011, right? A president that the country can be proud of, or some variation of that. And he'll argue that he has done exactly that. People know what they're getting with Michael Dee Higgins, and he'll argue that in the 7 years ahead, when we've got a couple of difficult things coming up in terms of the commemorations of the Civil War, commemorations of the Anglo-Irish Treaty and so on, that in with those kind of things coming up, and given the kind of, you know, role he played in the commemorating the 1916 Rising, that he's best placed to do that. But there will be candidates in the race, and we've talked about Sinn Féin there, who will throw issues on the table that he will have to deal with. So he'll have to talk about a united Ireland, because that's what Sinn Féin are going to be talking about. And so I would suspect that if he's out there, if he's taking part in debates and doing interviews and campaigning, he's going to be asked questions about that issue and what his views are on that issue. You know, I mean, I'm sure the accusation will be thrown out there by some in Sinn Féin that Michael Dee is soft on the national question, and he'll have to address that, you know.
Now, the big parties, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, have decided they don't want to contest it, but it's now up to them whether they want to keep the padlocks, if you like, on the nomination process, or whether they will free up their party councillors to vote for other independent candidates. And I think that they might be minded to allow others to enter the race in order to dilute Sinn Féin's airtime and its dominance throughout the campaign. What do you think those parties will do now in terms of allowing their councillors to go ahead and nominate some independents?
Well, Fianna Fáil have already, I think, decided that they will allow their councillors to participate in council votes if councils are voting on endorsing a particular candidate. And that they, already last week I was kind of picking up this sense from the party that they weren't going to enforce the whip on councillors across the country. Fianna Fáil has, I think, over 200 councillors, and it would be impractical, really, for them to be going around making sure these guys aren't voting or they're voting against any council motion to endorse a particular candidate. So they're taking a soft line on that position. I think that's a sensible move, really. And similarly, Fine Gael, not ruling out doing similar, and I think when it comes to it, they probably will end up allowing their councillors a vote on this issue, or at the very least abstaining, so as that they can facilitate councils endorsing particular candidates. So that opens up maybe a dozen councils, local authorities, to endorse a particular candidate. So that suddenly creates a space in which you could get 3 or 4 candidates into the field. So that's going to be interesting
in terms of
the months ahead. There's a long list. This is by no means exhaustive, but we have the three senators, all independents, Gerard Crockwell, who's been out since last year talking about challenging Michael Dee Higgins and being thoroughly annoyed at the fact that Michael Dee was seeking a second term when was suggested that he would seek a second term. When he had said in 2011 that he would only serve one term. He's made a lot of noise. It's not clear whether he's got the endorsements. I think that the other two independent senators, Joan Freeman and Páirc Ó Cadhg, have worked more quietly in the corridors of Leinster House and may have secured more support. Michael Fitzmaurice, the independent TD, has been trying to gather all of the independent TDs to try and endorse one candidate, pick one of those, and throw their support behind them, and then look to try and lobby local authorities to get other candidates into the race. So the two independent senators, for example, who don't get the endorsement of the 20 Oireachtas members, could then go the local authority route. Mixed results on that front. Not all TDs are minded to back any of the candidates in the field right now. I was talking to Thomas Pringle last week, and he was saying that none of the candidates in the race thus far are ones that he would be prepared to sign nomination papers for. Similarly, the Social Democrats met with Joan Freeman. She's the founder of Pieta House. And they decided that they weren't politically compatible, so they weren't going to endorse someone like Joan Freeman. And then we have the businessman Sean Gallagher writing to local authorities last week, asking them to facilitate a nomination, not for him, but just for anyone who's in the race. Obviously, we know Gallagher ran in 2011, was topping the poll in the last week of the campaign, and then all sorts of controversy that we won't get into led to him not winning the presidency. But he's got his name is in the mix again. Another former Dragons Den star, Gavin Duffy, emerging at the weekend as a contender. He seems to have been working very quietly in recent months in putting together a campaign, and he has Gallagher's former campaign manager, Cathal Lee, involved, and seems to be tic-tacking a little bit with Gallagher. And we also have another Gallagher associate, Noel Whelan, the barrister and political commentator, who I spoke to last week and was in the paper at the weekend. He had looked at running earlier this year when Michael D. Higgins decided that he wasn't, when it wasn't clear if Michael D. was going to run for a second term. And he looked at it and decided that Michael D.'s lead would probably be unassailable. But he is now in a position of thinking that if it's only going to be Michael D. and Sinn Féin, that it would be worthwhile getting an independent into the mix. And he's now saying that he's going to make up his mind up in the next 10 days to 2 weeks as to whether he will seek a nomination. And there are a few others as well. Former Lord Mayor of Dublin, Christy Burke, someone who has serially run for Dáil Éireann and never been elected. And Kevin Sharkey, the artist and activist, who's been asking a few local authorities as well if they might throw their weight behind him. And there will be others, Mary, and they will all make a bit of noise, and they will all dabble in speculation in the newspapers. They'll be lobbying TDs, they'll be lobbying senators, they'll be lobbying local authorities. But most of them will fall by the wayside and won't actually contest the presidential election come the autumn.
I think you mentioned at the weekend Matt was Mick ruling himself out, so there'll be plenty of room for opportunism
along
the way as well. When do you think we'll know? And when can the race get underway proper?
So a lot of local authorities are probably going to meet in early September and decide what they're going to do. So that leaves, I guess, about 2 months or just under 2 months for the various pretenders to seriously lobby councillors across the country and get their endorsement and get their support with a view to getting the endorsement of four local authorities, which is what they need. It's a fairly high bar. And then we will probably have the polling order signed sometime in September as well, and that will kickstart the campaign. So I anticipate we'll have probably about a 6 week official campaign, but as I said, it's already getting started, and it's likely to keep you and I busy over the summer months.
Yeah, and we'll keep councillors busy too. Their phones will be ringing all throughout August. That's all we have time for now from the Post podcast. Please join us next time.